Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services, the Sabbath before the Day of Atonement. This world is certainly being deceived by Satan the devil, just exactly as it says there in Revelation 12:9, that he is deceiving the whole world. And we see things now with so much deception, so much deceit, it just like a blanket that is just woven around the earth to contain it in darkness, to keep it from light, to keep the truth from shining through. We have a prophecy in Isaiah 60 which talks about the end time, the way it is right now, and how it's going to be, because we are progressing to a time where there is going to be more and more sin, more and more darkness, more and more difficulty, more and more blindness. And we're going to see why. And we understand that the power behind it is Satan the devil. This is why in the Day of Atonement, that day pictures getting rid of Satan. Now, let's come to Isaiah 60 and verse 2. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now, this is one of the songs in the Messiah by Handel. Gross darkness. But then it gives the solution, last half of the verse. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. So this gross darkness is on the earth, covering the earth. How does it get there? Well, in addition to Satan, it's also the actions of the people. See, because everything we do, we function within law, the laws that God has created, and we're judged by law. Now, the world is under law, as we have seen. Those who have the Holy Spirit of God within them, because God is directly within them, they're the only ones under grace. Now, people in the world can receive some grace, but they are not under grace. Under grace defines your relationship with God. Under law defines how God deals with everyone in the world. And there are certain set things that happen when people go against God, go against his word, go against his laws, go against his commandments, and sin and do the things that they want to do. Another way of putting it is spiritual drunkenness. So let's go to Jeremiah 13. Let's go to Jeremiah 13 and let's see. No, yes, Jeremiah 13 and verse 15. Now this tells how the darkness comes. Verse 15. Hear and give ear, do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Now you see the key thing that we always understand, the three words, obey my voice. He causes darkness, or before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turns it into the shadow of death, making it gross darkness. And remember one of the curses that came upon the Egyptians and Pharaoh in Egypt, and also one of the curses that come upon the capital of the beast. Gross darkness, darkness they could feel. Darkness that was so heavy that it brought pain and agony. So here's the key, verse 17. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. They closed their eyes. Isn't it something how this is described in the Bible? Now, it is a spirit of darkness. It is a spirit of deception. And we're going to see that Satan the devil is the one who is in charge of all of this. He is the god of this world. Now, let's see how he operates. Let's see that it is also a spiritual thing that occurs. Now, let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter. And, of course, we were all in this same condition at one time before we received the Spirit of God. Ephesians, the second chapter. And also shows another thing. Spiritually, not only are we blind, but we are also dead in sins and trespasses, as Paul writes here in Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And we are as good as dead. That's why we need to understand how we can come out of it and why God is going to get rid of Satan the devil as pictured by the coming Day of Atonement. Now, here's our condition before God calls us. Now, you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you walked in times past. Now, that shows that it is a way of life. And we're going to see that that way of life is darkness and fear and bondage, according to the course of this world, just the way that the world is, according to the prince of the power of the air, that the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. So you see, Satan is there with all of his power, all of his ability to transmit, to send messages, plus all the high-tech things that he uses and employs as well. It's working within. It's an attitude. It's a mindset in the children of disobedience. Now notice, it says here, among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. So there we are, out in the darkness, out in the world, out in the way. So we have the spirit of deception. Now, let's come to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and let's see what it says about the spirit of this world and what it leads to. And then what Paul wrote about it in Romans, the 8th chapter. But let's come here to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. Okay. Now it talks about how we receive the Holy Spirit of God. How the Holy Spirit of God leads us to understand even the deep things of God. And that no man can understand the things of God without the Spirit of God. So Paul writes here. Let's pick it up in verse 9. But according as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So, brethren, God is the one who makes the dividing line. God is the one who calls us out of this darkness. God is the one who has given us of his Spirit so we can understand. And the Spirit of God brings light to us. Verse 11 now. For who among men understands the things of man except by the Spirit of man which is in him? In the same way also the things of God no one understands except by the Spirit of God. Now notice verse 12. Because here is what the spirit of Satan, the devil, the spirit of darkness brings. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world. And who is the prince of the power of the air? The spirit that is now interworking into children of disobedience. None other than Satan, the devil. But we have received the spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that God has graciously given to us. which things we speak not in the words of men's wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit in order to communicate spiritual things by spiritual means. Okay? So we're not having the spirit of this world. Now notice verse 14. The mind that is blinded, the mind that is in darkness, the mind that is under the power of Satan the devil. Notice how this describes a carnal mind in a very similar way as it does in Romans 8 and verse 7. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now let's see how Paul amplifies this a little more. The spirit of world, which is here, the spirit of fear, which we're going to see, which is also called the spirit of bondage. Now turn back just a few pages to Romans the 8th chapter, and let's see how Paul writes of it here. And this is why none in the world are going to understand the things that are taking place. Now Romans 8. Now let's pick it up here. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, which then tells us if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you're not one of the sons of God. Now notice, verse 15 is a key important thing. Now we have not received a spirit of bondage again unto fear. See, because the spirit of darkness, the spirit of blindness, and the gross darkness is showing that people are in the grips of sin. The spirit of bondage, in bondage to sin, and unto fear. See, we had the spirit of bondage before we were converted. Paul said, now you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear. But you have received the spirit of sonship whereby we call out, Abba, Father. So the things are totally changed. Now this is something. Jesus even spoke of this, about what it is about it as human beings that can be discerned. Now let's come to Matthew the 6th chapter and let's see what Jesus said. Because you see, that is the spirit of Satan that is inner working in the children of disobedience. Those who have given themselves over to gross sin. Those who follow Satan's ways. And Satan is there, controlling the world. And he doesn't want us to attain to the kingdom of God. So that's why we're going to see our fight is against the wicked spirits in high places. Now, Matthew, the 6th chapter, and let's pick it up here in verse 22. Now, the eyes reflect something of your inner character, your inner spirit, and that's why the Bible talks about an evil eye. And when you see people who are dedicated criminals, given over to evil, they do have an evil look in their eyes. And this verifies what Jesus said here. Matthew 6 and verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye be sound, now how can it be sound? That is with the truth of God, the Spirit of God. Your whole body shall be full of light. But notice the contrast. Notice the difference here. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness, then he shows something else. You cannot serve God when you are in the spirit of darkness, the spirit of bondage, the spirit of fear. Now, brethren, let me just state something here very important. This is why the churches of God are not to be run on fear. They are to be run on grace and love and truth and power and light and instruction from God. That's how they're to be run. Now let's see how Jesus spoke of this in John, the third chapter, and he brings out some very important things. And also in it, John, the third chapter, we are going to see that the world cannot understand because their eyes have been blinded because of the darkness. Now, they want the blessings of God, even though they're still living in sin. And they quote the verse here, chapter 3 and verse 16, about God loving the world, giving his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. But they don't go on to explain how that occurs. So a lot of people are claiming this, but they never come to the light. So let's read it here. Let's read it. Pick it up here in verse 19. And this is the judgment, that the light, who is Christ, and the way of God, has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light because their works are evil. Now let's see what else John wrote about it. All right. Let's see what this light is. Let's pick it up here in verse 4 of John, the first chapter, just a page over. John 1 and verse 4. In him was life. That is the one who was the Word, who was God, who became flesh. And the life was the light of men. That's Christ. And the light shines in the darkness. Christ does. His Spirit does. But the darkness does not comprehend it. Now why? Why isn't it comprehended by those who are in the world, though they hear it? All right, let's see. Come back here to verse 19 again. But men love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light. And practicing evil means that you live in evil. Your way is evil, as described by Ephesians, the second chapter, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the course of this world. Practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light so that his works, may not be exposed. Because, you see, the Word of God, the truth of God, the Spirit of God exposes evil for what it is, so that we may repent, that we may change, that we may grow. Now, on the other hand, shows a difference. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be manifested that they have been accomplished by the power of God. Now, here's another thing to consider. Those who have already come to the light, those who have already been converted, those who already have received the Spirit of God, if they turn and start walking away from the light, at first, they still have the light shining behind them. So they don't think there is much change. And this is how Satan brings in things incrementally, a bit at a time, and to lead you away from the light, and to lead you away from the truth. But if you come to Christ, it's going to reveal that your works are done in him. Now let's come to Matthew 13 and see how this is done. If you're walking in darkness, you are blind. It's like it says back there as we're turning to Matthew 13, but as it says back there in Isaiah 59, that at noonday, because of our sins, we walk as in darkness, groping. because we don't know where we're going. So after talking to the multitude in parables, Jesus explained why. And here are the things that automatically happen. So he said that to us it's given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it hasn't been given. So he says, verse 13, "For this reason I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." See, because the one who is of darkness is practicing evil and is of Satan the devil and doesn't want to practice the truth and doesn't want to do what is right. But also there are choices that everyone has to make, because God never removes free choice from anyone. Verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'In hearing you shall hear, and in no way understand, and in seeing you shall see, and in no way perceive. For the heart of this people has grown fat, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and should hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them.'" God allows that deliberate blinding. They choose it, that's what they get. Then they come under the power of darkness. Let's come back here to the book of Acts. Acts 28. Let's see what the gospel is to do. Acts the 28th chapter, and here is Paul explaining about why he was sent, the power of the scriptures. All right, Acts 28. Now let's go to Acts 26 rather than Acts 28. I had it written down. It's Acts 26 instead of Acts 28. So Acts 26. And let's see how Paul was explaining the calling that he had. And here's what Christ told him. Let's pick it up here in verse 15 after he was knocked down to the ground. And Christ said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Verse 15, "And I, Paul, said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness both of what you have seen and what I shall reveal to you. I am personally selecting you from the people and the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes, that they may turn from the darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to God, so that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified through faith in me.'" So if you are in darkness, you are under the authority of Satan the devil. And he is the one who is causing that, and it's happening. All right? Now let's come to the epistle of 1 John. Now there are the comparisons here between light and darkness in 1 John as well. And it shows, again, the dividing line. And brethren, we need to understand that. The dividing line is clear. You either have the Spirit of God, and you love God, and you obey God, and you keep His commandments, and you're walking in the light, and you're sanctified by the truth. You have Christ in you. You are under grace. Now, you cannot have a clever counterfeit, because a clever counterfeit will have many scriptural things, but because it is led by the spirit of darkness rather than by the spirit of Christ, there are going to be misinterpretations. There are going to be things that are not correct. There are going to be lies. There are going to be breaking of the commandments of God. saying that we have grace to interpret anything the way we want to. And everything else of the Word of God has been done away. Now that is a clever, clever counterfeit, and that's darkness. And when people accept that, they put themselves under the power of darkness and under the power of Satan the devil. And Satan wants you happy and content under his control. That's why some people are so locked in to the counterfeit Christianity of this world. Now here again, we see the contrast. We see the contrast all the way through the New Testament. And just like Paul wrote, that he was called to bring people out of darkness unto the light, just as John wrote there in John the 3rd chapter. Now here in 1 John the 1st chapter, he talks about our fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 3, that which we have seen and have heard, we're reporting to you in order that you may have fellowship with us, for the fellowship. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his own Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the key thing that he is starting out this whole epistle with. And we've got a very in-depth series going through the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we cover many verses showing the difference all the way through the New Testament, all the way through the things that are done. God is revealing that there are two ways to go, the way of the world, the way of God. And you can't mix the two. Let's see how John describes it right here, going on now. Verse 4, these things we are also writing to you so that your joy may be completely full. And this is the message that we have heard from him and are declaring to you, that God is light and there is no darkness at all in him. Now, you see, part of the way that some of the religions explain it is, especially the Gnostics at that time, that there are varying degrees of enlightenment, and that the demigod who created the earth is on the lowest level and in darkness. So this is why he is writing it this way. There is no darkness in him at all. Now, notice how he begins to make it clear that you cannot combine together the way of the world and Satan with the way of God. So let's pick it up here in verse 6. If we proclaim we have fellowship with him, that is, have the Spirit of God, love God, keep his commandments, etc., but we are walking in darkness. Now, what are the people doing who are walking in darkness who claim to be Christian? They're keeping Sunday. They're keeping Easter. They're keeping Halloween. They're keeping Christmas. All of those things are of darkness, of sin and Satan, not of God. But very few people are willing to accept that and to repent of it, and to understand the truth concerning it. See, we have to walk in the light, and as we saw in John the 3rd chapter, be coming to the light. And we have to be practicing the truth. Now that means living by the truth. So you can't combine it. But if we say we have fellowship with him, but we are walking in darkness, we're lying to ourselves, and no liar has the Holy Spirit within him. And we are not practicing the truth. However, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Then he hits on something else that is very important. Because those who believe in a false Christianity and are walking in darkness believe that if they accept Jesus Christ, they have no sin. They can not sin. So they're walking now in a twilight zone. They may have little of the truth of God, but they're walking in deception and not in truth. And all of that is of Satan the devil. Now notice what he says. Verse 8, because there were people who were saying it then, and there are people who are saying it now. And I've actually talked to people who are absolutely convinced that they have been born again, that now in this condition, with their sins forgiven, they cannot sin. Therefore, they don't have to do anything concerning the laws and commandments of God. Well, I don't think that they have read or studied the epistle of 1 John, or 2 John, or 3 John. Notice what he says here, and this is also part of the New Age religion. Part of the New Age religion is there's no such thing as sin. Sin is only what you think sin may be. But really, you're good, and all you have to do is tap into the good that is in you and find the God within yourself, which then is pure Satanism. Notice verse 8. If we say we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now notice, if you lie to yourself, you what? You believe your own lie and you deceive yourself, right? Well, that's exactly what they do here, see? On the other hand, if we're walking in the light, as he is in the light, and we are being cleansed from all sin, notice verse 9, how that is done. It says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Notice verse 9. If we confess our sins, and you confess those to God, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now notice the difference between light and darkness, good and evil, fellowship or deception. Verse 10. Again, notice how these verses are structured. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, God cannot lie. God is a God of truth. His spirit is a spirit of truth. His laws and commandments are truth, and they are spiritual, and they are spiritually understood. But those who are in darkness are deceived. Those who are under the sway of Satan the devil don't understand. Now notice how he continues here, because this becomes a complete indictment on the way that this world is run and on the counterfeit Christianity that has overwhelmed even the churches of God and is completely controlling the Christianity of this world. Now let's see what he says here in the second chapter. Let's begin right in verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, if we're practicing the truth, we're not sinning. If we're repenting of the sins that we have, those are washed away. And if we are bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ and letting the Holy Spirit wash us with the washing of the water of the Word to cleanse our minds and sanctify us, we are growing, we are overcoming, we are not of this world, we are not blinded, but we know the truth. Now let's continue. And yet, if anyone does sin, because we still have human nature that we need to overcome, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. That means continual mercy seat. With his atoning blood, his sacrifice for justification and payment for sin, he is a propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And if we know the holy days of God, we know how God is going to apply it to the whole world. He hasn't done it yet, but he will. And by this standard, because you've got to have a standard, You have to know that you know God, and you have to know that you know. Now, there are a lot of people who profess God. There are a lot of people who say they believe in God, but they're just like the demons. The demons believe in God, but they don't obey Him. So our belief has to be that which brings us out of darkness into the light, has to bring us to the point of repentance and conversion and growing and overcoming and a continuous process of this. Now let's see how he explains it here. By this standard, we know him if we keep his commandments. See? So here he's defining it very clearly. And how do we keep the commandments of God today? We have them written in our hearts and in our minds by the power of God's Spirit, so that we keep the commandments of God from within. It is a perfect law. It is a law of love. It is a law of goodness. You can't receive the Spirit of God or the light of God if you are walking in sin and walking in darkness. You make yourself a liar. Now, remember it said down here that we make God a liar. Now let's see what happens if we deny that we are bound to keep the commandments of God. And this is while we are under grace. Do you think that God is going to give his Spirit to be within someone who is a sinner and refuses to repent and keeps on sinning? Of course not. Do you think that someone is going to be in personal contact with God with the power of the Holy Spirit who walks in darkness? Of course not. So he says here, verse 4, the one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And if the truth is not in him, the light is not in him, because the truth is light. Christ is light. The commandments are light. On the other hand, look at the difference. See the contrast, as he does all the way through this epistle. If anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. And that's what God wants to happen, correct? Be perfected in the love of God. By this means, we know that we are in him. And now let's see the goal. Let's see the standard. Let's see how this is to be applied in our lives. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk. Now remember, we're coming to the light. We are walking in the truth. To walk how? Even as he himself walked. Now think of that. As Jesus Christ himself walked. That's how we're to walk. Now let's see some other things. What about our behavior? What about how we treat the brethren? Now, verse 8, again, I'm writing a new commandment to you because which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. See, we're coming out of it. However, here's the contrast again. Anyone who claims that he's in the light but hates his brother is in darkness until now. But the one who loves his brother is dwelling in the light, and there is no cause of offense in him. So you see, there are the two paths. The truth of God, the light of God, the way of Jesus Christ and God the Father. The way of Satan the devil, the way of lies, the way of darkness, the way of deceit. Notice how he explains it here. Verse 11, but the one who hates his brother is in darkness and is walking in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Remember what Jesus said, the eye is the light of the body. And if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness indeed? See, because there is a light of darkness. which comes from Satan the devil, that is part of the spirit of the power of the air. And that appears to people who want to live in sin as if it is light. But here, this light is defined as darkness, as sin, and not truth. Now let's go ahead and take a little break. We'll come back and finish from here.